Universities have been hit hard amidst the coronavirus pandemic in terms of academic structures. As many universities across Australia continue to switch to online lectures and tutorials, students and staff have been grappling with these sudden changes. The Wire's Heloise Vias reports.
Following the Prime Minister's announcement of banning large public gatherings, all South Australian universities are amidst making significant changes to their course structures by switching to online classes. Anna Obradovich is an honours student and activist at the University of Adelaide. She explains how students have been feeling about the university's delayed response to the coronavirus outbreak.
Students are pretty outraged that Adelaide Uni is still open, and the move online is pretty much like a half measure because staff are still required to keep running face-to-face tutorials, just optional for students whether they attend. I think this is an issue also of putting staff at risk. I think a lot of people are questioning how seriously the university is taking implementing any of these measures. Also, there doesn't seem to be a lot of support for students who struggle with using online technology to access their classes. We're basically at where Italy was at about 3 weeks ago, and Pandemic Pete has decided that his priorities are continuing to make money, keeping students in beyond census day, instead of looking after the community's health. This isn't just about students. The state's preparing for 50,000 to 150,000 deaths. Australia is preparing for that. That's a massacre, and that didn't need to happen.
Has there been any response from the uni as to why they're still open?
The university says that they are following the advice of SA Health, and as long as that doesn't change, they're going to keep putting students and the community at risk. We've actually spoken with Peter Rastin, the Vice-Chancellor. He keeps repeating that actually the economic impact of shutting the university down, of people having to stay at home, would have a worse impact on people's lives than the impact of pandemic spread. That's indicative of what the people running these institutions, their kind of priorities.
Being timed exactly one day after census day, it's potentially like asking students to pay first and lock them in and then be worried about their health.
Yeah, I think all of that just indicates where the priorities are at for the university, in the same way that where the priorities are at for the government, because they're saying, well, we can't close schools because that would mean that workers stay home to look after kids and that impacts the economy too much. Obviously, everyone's bottom line is the economy, and in that context, there's no way you're going to invest in things like helping people deal with the mental strain, helping people deal with the financial strain. All of that is just going to take away from the bottom line, which is trying to stimulate a dying economy.
They're basically prioritising attendance and grades over health at this point.
It's pretty clear to me that they're trying to lock students in. And this is particularly outrageous for international students who have to pay upfront fees anyway, travel all this way, accommodation, all this sort of stuff. And I think they should be compensated entirely. They're not getting the education that they came here for. And now they're being messed around and used as cash cows by a university that clearly has none of the community or students' best interests in heart.
I mean, most international students have casual part-time jobs to pay for their own fees because it's just ridiculously high. And there's just no way the university is compensating for that. So how do they expect students to still pay fees, do all the classes, and not even go back home? Because that's not an option at this point. They're not allowed to go back home.
Exactly. That's why I think there should be full compensation. I also think that clearly the government has enough money to be able to compensate everyone. So staff who are losing their jobs, people who are casual and don't get hours. The stimulus package was billions of dollars, and 75% of that was a handout to big business, casual workers, international students, people who are sick, people who have to look after sick children. They're just left to languish, as if this is our fault that this crisis has happened.
Personally, what do you think is the best thing that can be done at this point?
There should be a complete shutdown of the university. There should be compensation for students, full compensation for international students in particular. Classes should move online, I think, as much as possible. Staff should also get full pay. They should have to take no financial hit from this. And we have the money. The university has the money. The government has the money. It's a matter of the priorities and where it's going.
Anna Obradovich, an honours student and activist at the University of Adelaide. Mike Kyrios is the Vice President of Flinders University. He talks about the decision to switch to online course delivery for the foreseeable future.
We are trying to facilitate social distancing or physical distancing because we need to do that across the whole of the community. And so putting the lectures online is a really great way of doing that. We're now trying to transition to putting tutorials online. Ultimately, we are preparing for a possible shutdown once the Prime Minister and the government decide that that's really what we need to do.
Obviously, staff members have also been hit with this news of transitioning to online delivery at the same time as students have. Are they trained adequately in delivering all the coursework in an online format?
We've been running forums for staff and training for staff. I attended one of those forums and I was absolutely astounded by how helpful those who had the experience already, how helpful they were to those staff who felt a little less confident or who hadn't used it quite as often in the past. So I think staff are really beginning to get quite skilled at this in a very short period of time.
And do you think it's practical to completely deliver classes online for disciplines like music, in fine arts and medical, that kind of need that face-to-face interaction with students?
That's an ongoing discussion, and there are aspects of what it is that we do that we really need to think through. And placements is a particular concern. Our aim really and our mission is to try and get students through their degrees with the minimum obstacles. The reality, though, is we have a crisis on our hands like we've never had before. We have to think differently. This is the new world, and this is not just something that's going to happen for this year. It's going to be happening in years and years and years to come. And I think that ultimately this has forced us all to think a little bit differently about what is the university of the future going to look like? We're all going digital anyway. This has just forced it upon us, I think, a little bit sooner, at a faster pace. It was something that had to happen anyways.
Do you think students are being able to make this transition quite smoothly?
It's early days yet, but I keep checking in on students myself personally. We think that students are making the transition, and most students were already doing many things online anyway. The world has changed. Students have got fees that they have to pay. Students are under different kinds of pressures, and they've always looked for efficiencies in how it is that they can pick up the skills and the knowledge that they need. So again, I think that the students are coping well, and those that are struggling, I can assure you we are looking after them as well, because we check in on them and we will continue to check in on them to try and accommodate their particular needs.
Mike Kyrios, Vice President of Flinders University and Director of Arama Institute of Mental Health, Wellbeing and Neuroscience, speaking to The Wire's Heloise Vias. This story is produced for The Wire, independent current affairs on community and Indigenous radio across Australia. The Wire is funded by the Community Broadcasting Foundation, and you can find more of our stories on thewire.org.au.